Welcome to Kitchen Table Conversations, a series of short and shareable conversation starters for those of us who have or love and support people with a complicated and beautiful brain. Here's your host, Angela Geddes.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Kitchen Table Conversations. I don't know where you are right now, but we are located in southwestern Ontario. Yesterday was a big deal with the solar eclipse and my husband's birthday, which he continued to remind everybody that the whole universe was seeing his day as something special. But it was pretty amazing, and our studio is in St. Thomas, Ontario, so we were right in the line. And it was really neat because I was able to witness this whole beautiful experience with a couple of parents and a little girl who, you know, saw this for the first time in her life. And she was just so amazing. She's so impulsive and so full of energy and has a difficult time concentrating. But her parents did a fabulous job of outlining the expectations very, very clearly with her. And she wore those glasses like a champ. And it was just so, so amazing. So anyways, this has been a really busy week. And tomorrow I'm off to Detroit to fly out to Seattle, Washington for the 9th International Research Conference on Adolescents and Adults with FASD. So I'm pretty excited because we're going to talk about some of the research that's been done with acceptance commitment therapy and acceptance commitment training and how we can augment some of the support initiatives, including support groups in Ontario. For those of you who know me well, you know that I've been pretty passionately advocating for funding and different opportunities for parents and caregivers to gather to support one another with other facilitators who have some knowledge and certainly have some trauma-informed approaches and certainly FASD or complex mental health and learning difficulties. So we're informed therapists to be able to support caregivers during some of their, you know, pretty vulnerable times. So we're going to be talking about practice-based evidence, what I have learned over the years around what makes really good support groups work, some of the things we have to be mindful of in terms of, you know, group readiness and confidentiality and, you know, just the group dynamics and all of that stuff, and really making sure that we're focusing on creating safe spaces for everyone. And again, how acceptance commitment therapy can augment that. So pretty excited to speak about the research. We partnered with CAMH a few years ago. So that's the Center of Addictions and Mental Health. And we did a couple of pilot projects to see whether this therapy actually does show promise. And it does show promise for caregivers who have very complicated kids. So we're going to speak on the research, and we're also going to speak around how to operationalize this with some tips and strategies around how parents do better when we focus on, you know, ourselves and how we can adjust to some of these distressing or difficult circumstances in a different way so that it has less impact on it. So I love acceptance commitment therapy because it just speaks to the universality of distress. Although when we do talk about fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, we do talk about the extra difficulties in terms of, you know, the prevalence rates that are just not, our system does not support, the fact that we have very limited assessment services, the fact that we have very few clinicians that actually feel confident and competent in their ability to identify and to screen and to participate in assessment and support services for families who are at need. So there's a lot of closed doors. There's a lot of sense of, you know, misunderstandings and a sense where people just don't belong. So there are extra barriers and extra biases and extra difficulties that parents who are dealing with the effects of prenatal exposures, what they experience compared to other diagnoses like autism spectrum disorder, for example, or Down syndrome or other mental health conditions. So we do know that there's still a bias around mental health conditions. We're making some progress, but when you add alcohol to the mix the biases and the negativity and the blame and the shame and the misunderstandings are just really, really magnified. So we do talk about how do we address all of that while still creating very hopeful, very positive environments that focus on strengths and reconnecting people, caregivers, and individuals with FASD to their values rather than focusing on behaviors and impulsivity and sometimes some poor decision making and some difficulties that are really quite puzzling. So we really focus on strengths and values. And then we're also doing another session in the adult and adolescent stream where we're going to speak with and for individuals with FASD, so who are living with FASD, and we're going to talk about the benefits for acceptance commitment therapy for individuals who have this complicated disorder as well. So there has been this understanding that, this misunderstanding, I'll say, that therapy services aren't really absolutely helpful or necessary, or people are hesitant to provide therapy services to people who have complex neurodevelopmental conditions because legitimately there are some memory difficulties, some inconsistent performance, and so follow through and really, understanding and being able to transfer some of those learned skills from one scenario to another sometimes can be difficult. But you know, again, what I've been saying for many, many years, with the prevalence rates at being 4 to 5% of the general population, and out of that globally, less than 2% of them are actually diagnosed, we really don't know what works yet with individuals who have FASD, because there's far more of them out there who are struggling with misdiagnosis and misunderstanding than people who actually have the diagnosis. So again, less than 2% of those who should have the diagnosis have them. So that means our statistics are based on the 2% that are either, you know, notably struggling enough to qualify them for one of the very limited assessment slots that are available, or they have parents and caregivers that are astute enough to really advocate and they have the funding available to be able to pay for private assessments. So our statistics are not inclusive. So I'm finding that therapy sessions for people with FASD are really proving to be quite helpful and are really, improving outcomes. So yeah, I'm really pleased and proud that I'm able to present on two separate occasions, and I will be presenting with Shannon Butt, who also has FASD, and she's just an amazing advocate and part of the change makers as well, and is really committed to making a difference and to work towards prevention of, as I say, you know, my motive or my mission statement, I suppose, would say that we're very committed to reducing both the impacts of prenatal exposures and the incidences of prenatal exposures through a variety of different awareness and prevention methods. So really pleased about that. And then in addition to that, I'm very excited that I was offered a poster session where we get to talk about the urgent need to increase our system's capacity to be able to identify and screen people at the door so that there are fewer wrong doors for individuals. So realistically, with our current capacity, the current funding sources, current clinicians and availability and assessments, slots that are available, we are not able to assess everybody who needs one, given the prevalence rates. But we can do better within our existing mental health and developmental frameworks that we have already. So if we just augment these systems a little bit, like we are augmenting typical therapy modalities slightly in order to be more inclusive of those with complicated presentations, we can do this. So I'm very, very excited. So now I'm going to sign off and get packing so that I'm ready to fly out tomorrow. But stay tuned for more information around that. And again, it is important to note that our little team is growing. So check out my website, angela@angelageddes.ca, if you want to know more or learn more about some of the resources that we have. Again, I do have books books available. We do have booklets available that's called Not Your Typical Parenting Guide that I think, you know, are proving to be quite helpful to individuals. Just got back from Fanshawe College last week and got amazing feedback from our about the book that I've written. And the presentation to kind of imprint some of our newest members of the social welfare system. So pretty excited about that as well. So check out the website for more information and how to connect with us directly if either you or somebody you may know might benefit from our supports and our assessment services. So thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Take good care. Angela.